This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
He's a bully with $17 million in a security detail.
Quit the tough guy act. You know where to find me. Any place, cowboy.
It's common sense. You know, some things are law, and I'm all in favor of it. And some things are common sense.
And I heard a boom in my whole house show.
This is the Reardon Roundtable.
All right, let's get going here for the final Reardon Roundtable before the election. I feel like we've been talking about it for 4 years, mainly because we've been talking about it for 4 years, I think,
feels
right?
Feels like 40.
Sue Thomas, how are you first and foremost?
I am fine. Thanks for asking.
Beautiful fall day. I like the crisper temperatures. We had a great Halloween last night, and my daughter played hooky from school today, I think, for the first time.
Okay.
How about that?
Wow.
And I used to love that we were always, bet.
Oh, from all the candy.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, we always had the day off after.
Well, she kind of worked her magic here. Jay Duker is here. Welcome back.
Yes.
You were in Tuscaloosa last week. I was in Houston last week. We'll talk about that a little bit later. State Rep Steve Butts is also with us. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mark. Great to see you.
Thank you for joining us on this Friday. And former State Senator John Lamping, who is a veteran of the Roundtable, who will also join me once again for our third election night together on Tuesday. Tuesday night. John, how are you? Let's make sure I got the right mic on. Hold on. Let's try that again. Take two.
Happy All Saints Day to you and all listening Catholics.
Do me a favor. Pull that microphone just a little bit closer up to your mouth because I can't hear you as well as I should. Let's get right into the audio here. I couldn't hear him very well. We'll make sure we correct that. Here is what Donald Trump said to Tucker Carlson. So let's play what actually was said about Liz Cheney. And by the way, it's pretty funny that the closing argument that the Democrats have right now is, basically defending the honor of Liz Cheney. But we'll talk about that.
She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face. You know, they're all war hawks when they're sitting in Washington in a nice building saying, oh, gee, Will, let's send 10,000 troops right into the mouth of the enemy. But she's a stupid person.
Well,
I don't think you even need to call.
Hang on. Here we go. This happens every time. I got my producer switch, Sue. Yeah. Can you do me a favor and tell them what's happening here so they know?
What's happening?
Well, it's clicking into the next piece of audio, which is the one thing that I always tell people to not have happen. All right. So here is the folks on CNN sort of relating what happened.
I don't think you even need to call it fired upon. He's saying quite explicitly and unambiguously that Liz Cheney should be shot, should be executed by firing squad.
4 days out from Election Day. And former President Donald Trump is escalating his violent rhetoric, suggesting one of his most prominent critics, the former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, should be fired upon.
So it's just a bunch of nonsense. John, I'll let you start. You guys on the Democratic side and the legacy media, you manipulate this all the time. You did it with very fine people. And here they go again here in the closing days of this election.
Well, it's nothing new. And, you know, for people that just get their news from New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, which sadly tens of millions of people do, they really do think that what he intends to do is to put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad. And if they really do think that...
Taylor Swift and Bruce Springsteen, too,
yeah,
if I had to guess.
If they really believe that, well, then whatever it takes to win this election is what needs to be done. You know, 2 assassination attempts, we need to have more. If he wins, we need to take him out still. That's what the left and the more importantly, the left media, they are saying, looking straight into the camera and saying, Donald Trump just said, put Liz Cheney in front of a firing squad, when we all know what he was saying was, she's a neocon. When she's in charge, we go to war. When we go to war, tens of thousands of young men and women get killed. And she should go with them and see what it's like before she pushes the next war. That's what he said. That's what he meant. But to have these, you know, high-paid, high-profile reporters report to tens of millions of people that he said put her in front of a firing squad is a very dangerous place.
Steve Butts, really think that he said put her in front of a firing squad? If you listen to the context of that soundbite, he's talking about the war hawks.
If you listen in context, I'm going to go with that. But look at all the stupid stuff that comes out of his mouth. It's easy to misinterpret because you take exactly what the guy says. It is he who ratchets up the rhetoric.
No. But shouldn't CNN and the teams that are supposed to be the arbiters of the truth sort of separate some of that stuff out?
Yeah, maybe they should. And that's, I guess, what we're doing right now. But I'm just saying, even when we're just saying that the left was not condemning the assassination attempts, which I think, Mark, that's where you were going there. I'm like, that's crazy talk. It was condemned these assassination attempts. To equate the two is just nonsense.
I mean, I don't think he was saying put her in front of a firing squad. I think it was a stupid conversation and a stupid way to say, John, if he had only said it in the way you said it, that, you know, that what I find interesting is that there always has to be a lot of explaining for what comes out of his mouth. And that's part of the problem.
Lie about what he says.
Well, no,
that's
why. It should be clear as a bell. But the fact that he's like, you know, why not just say, oh, she's a war hawk. I'd like to see how she would feel if she were in the shoes of our men and women who have to deal with this. Like, if that's the point you're making, then say it. But he rambles like a loon, and then it starts to get. Now, do I think that the hyperbole on this is ridiculous? Absolutely, I do. But I also think that he causes his own problems, and he loves it. He walks that line in order to do this. And you know what? The left is stupid enough to take the bait. They shouldn't take the bait because that's what he's doing. He is trying to ratchet it up, and it's dumb for liberals to like take the bait on his nonsense.
Well, this has been such a crazy week because it started with the MSG thing, and then we got to the middle part of the week and we got the garbage truck, which was brilliant retail politics. And now you have the Liz Cheney thing. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 days. We still have 3 days to go.
But
with
most
more
people,
of this
like
stuff.
A lot of people have already voted. So I don't
sure
know
they
what
have.
This
Who's
nonsense.
Voted in this room? I voted. Jane, have you?
No, I waited
okay,
in line.
Steve,
I
voted. John, have you?
Again. No,
okay.
No, there's no line out in the
So
guest
two list. Of us have, and two of us have not. I voted a couple of days ago, mainly because, John, I knew we were going to be going so late on Tuesday. I didn't want to have my entire morning on Tuesday morning. Really, that was part of the logic that I used. It took me about 70 minutes at Grand Glaze a couple of days ago.
Yeah, Grand Glaze
right,
is
a lot of people
one.
have already voted. But in the closing days here, let's kind of get to the broad feeling of this election. We'll talk about some of our local Missouri stuff in a little bit. Look, I feel... This is just a gut check. My gut check is things are swinging pretty well for Trump right now in the swing states. Having said that, this race is going to be razor sharp. It's hard for me to believe, just knowing what I do about these states in past elections, looking at the polling, I'm no expert. John, you can challenge me. I don't think that he wins deep down. I don't think he ends up winning Wisconsin and Michigan. But I do think he wins Pennsylvania. And it may very well just come down, as we've been talking now for months, to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think he's winning. I think, and I have to say this as a Trump supporter, you know, he's run as good a race as he's going to run, and he's been on script as much as he's going to be on script. There's a lot of energy and positive feelings. If he made a mistake in this interview with Liz Cheney, you know, he's going to do three or four more interviews in the next half day. He's put together an amazing team. I think this analogy that's out there that he's Captain America, and then there's the four Avengers, and that's JD and Tulsi and Elon. And who's the fourth Avenger? I'm forgetting. But I think that there's a lot of positivity behind that campaign, and you know, his closing message is, look, she broke it, I'll fix it. I was there before. I'll be there. You'll be with me again. We'll be successful. And so as a Trump supporter, I'm very happy with where the campaign is right here now and going into this weekend. You know, we'll see. I'm
well, you don't deny, though, that there's plenty of people on their side because mainly motivated by, I think, hate of Trump, that they're pretty motivated, too.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say people are highly motivated. That's why I think, you know, it's great to have even this debate right before the election. But I've thought for at least a month or more, minds are made up. There might be a few thousand, might have been a few thousand Puerto Rican votes, might have changed in the past week, saying you could stub your toe going into the very end. I think right now it's all about appeal to your base and get your base out. And I think whoever turns out their voters, I think they're going to have the upper hand. The Pennsylvania thing, I think you're right. It's not just Fetterman's comments, but a couple relatives I have there. I think back, did maybe Kamala Harris pick the wrong running mate as vice president? Pennsylvania.
She knows
was
things
a
we don't know.
Must win. I'm sure.
No,
it
I
is.
Know what you're talking about. Jane.
I'm
yeah.
sure it is.
Yeah.
But I'm just going yeah. with
you
that.
You mean on
thinking.
Shapiro?
Shapiro covered up a
right.
There's
murder.
A reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a really
good
okay.
reason.
See.
So I mean, but here's the thing: we heard this same rhetoric like in 22, the red wave. I mean, I see
Look,
a lot
I know.
Of
That's
Republicans.
That's why I've been very careful.
I see
Jane.
A lot of Republicans, not you guys, but I see a lot of Republicans saying this is over. He's won. And
it's
like,
not over.
I just feel like the declaring of victory, it's either something they're trying to manufacture or they're in their bubbles. And because I just don't think, and I work hard to try to see both sides, and I think this right now
no,
is a complete coin toss.
Absolutely, it is a coin toss, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. However, I think you'd kind of rather be Trump right now than Harris, looking at the numbers and looking at the way that they're trending. I don't think you can argue against that.
I would. What I would say is look at women. And I'm just telling you, there's going to be more women voters than men, and that matters.
It does matter.
In the last 4 weeks, every week Trump has gotten stronger. Every week she's gotten weaker in the polls.
Based on what? Okay.
Well, popular vote. You're going into the general election first time.
I don't think he's
going
to win the popular vote, do you?
No.
He doesn't have to, Jason. Right. Look,
he doesn't have to, but I'm telling you, that's where...
But he leads in the national vote poll right now just by 0.5%. All right, let's say it's a dead heat. Yeah. She needs to win by 2.5 or 3% to win this thing. Right, exactly.
Maybe. That's true. Maybe. It's true.
And so, you know, but I mean, we heard about, like I said, we heard about this in 22, and I bought in, and I thought, oh, shoot,
we're going to have... Well, in 22, Trump wasn't on the ballot in 22. And
he's been on the ballot since the day he walked down those steps.
He couldn't vote for Trump in 22. Now, I will say this. The House is in question now. Okay, the House has its own issues, its own problems. What happened in 22 is a problem with the House. Republicans will be lucky to take the House, even if Trump wins, you know, wins this election. Mm-hmm. Look, Trump's going to win either by a little or by a lot. He's going to lose if he loses by very little. And I'd rather be me than
Jane. I will say, and I've said this for 3 weeks now, my caveat in all of this is 2022, because I felt kind of revved up here.
I think everybody did.
We were spiking the ball, red wave, things are going our way, yeah. and that we found out that was not the case. So there is caution here.
And I think a lot of people, frankly, have just gone underground. I think the Trump people are louder, but I also think that, you know, I think there is a quiet, you know, force out there that says, not again. And I don't know. I mean, you could ask me one day and I would say, oh, yeah, it's going Republican. The next day I'm like, not so, you know.
I don't think it's a quiet force. I think a lot of people want to say never again. But what I think, the one number that really popped to me this week, Harry Anton over on CNN, and CNN's had to kind of admit some things here this week, but there's 28% of the people in this country that somehow feel, I'm baffled by this, that we're heading in the right direction. But that's actually a much larger number than typical in a presidential race. And when that number hovers around 28 or worse, the incumbent or the incumbent's party does not necessarily win. That's anecdotal, okay? But I'm pointing this out because of the economy and what people feel like on the economy. This is not, even when you look at some of the independent voters that are quoted by the New York Times, I outlined one of the things. What they say, look, the one thing that they don't agree with is she's not going to change anything. She's admitted it. She wants to stay with status quo. With independent voters, that's not good enough for them when they can't pay their grocery bills.
No, I do think that's a solid point. And one of the worst answers of the campaign, I think, for the vice president was when you're asked, you know, what would you change from the Biden administration? You say, I can't think of anything. That answer
but
just
she
wasn't.
That, like, four
that
or
just
five
was
times.
Not.
I mean, she
it
gave
was
that
just not well thought.
And you wouldn't do that no matter who you are. No matter if you're aligned with somebody or not.
Things.
You have to, everyone has something they want to do differently.
Indicators, if it's all about the economy, I mean, I know we like to beat it because nobody wants to say things are getting better. Things have been regularly getting better. It would appear we've had the soft landing that seemed to be impossible. So we're getting there. Does it have to get better? It does. The trend is in the right direction.
Well, yeah, jobs numbers that would argue against that right now. You have interest rates that are falling, which indicates...
Gas prices are low.
Gas prices are plummeting.
No, look, it's the border. It's inflation. It's foreign policy. Okay, what was Trump's border? Close. What was inflation? Non-existent. What was the foreign policy? No wars. Kamala's offering more of the same. More of the same as cumulative inflation of 25%. We're at war all across the world. There are wars flaring up all across the world, and we're funding them. So we're real close to that. And we've allowed 10,000 people a day to cross our border, and they're in inner cities taking up all kinds of social service dollars. So I think that's what Trump has done a good job of framing. This is what you had with me. This is what you had with Biden. And she said she's Biden. That's how people feel going
right
to the polls.
Hang tight. We got one segment down here. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday, the final roundtable before the election. Two more segments to go. John Lamping, Steve Butch, Jane Duker. We're coming back with more.